Dear Lord. Dear Lord, I struggle to find the words to pray.
Enough of that.
Thank you. Okay, so it is my privilege and honor to introduce Arlene Pelican. She is the speaker. She's a local speaker and author of 5 books. She focuses on more happiness in your home, more closeness to God and others, and more purpose in your day-to-day life. She's also a mom of 3, and we are thrilled to welcome back Arlene Pelican. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you so much for having me. Let me figure out, because I don't think I should put my water on the piano, so I'm going to put it over here. Okay, all the musicians are like, good, she's passed the first test. Okay, my friends, first of all, it is wonderful to be with you. Many of you are familiar faces because I've come here before, and it's wonderful to see you again. And today, I'd like you to take a deep breath. We're going to talk about something very near and dear to you and potentially your children. This thing. So I know that some of you may be thinking, okay, I am very nervous right now because that woman is going to be talking about my little precious phone. Or you think like, oh, I have heard this before. Here we go again. So my prayer is God will give you a fresh perspective of your digital devices so that you can go out and be a better mom, enjoying life yourself more, and then passing that along to your children. Because the truth is, this generation is being raised with screens unlike any other generation, and we face a huge challenge because everything around us says, watch me, click on me. You know, we've got screens in the vans, in the restaurants, in our houses, we've got computers, we put it in our pocket, it's everywhere. And so it can feel very strange to say, I'm going to step away from all that. You can feel like, well, I'm not like, you know, Fred Flintstone. Like, I'm going to use stuff. You know, some of you are like, who's Fred Flintstone? But anyway. So today we're going to talk about how you can step away from the phone. And I just had a conversation with an 8th grade mom who called me yesterday. And she said something very telling for all of you who have a child that's younger than 8th grade. She said, Arlene, all of our problems in our home stem around this little guy with her 8th grade girl. And guess what, my friends? If you can set some really great habits for yourself and for your children when they're the mop's age, I promise you, you will not have to call me when you have an 8th grader and say, every single problem stems around this thing. So because that sentiment is said over and over again, I've written a new book, and here's a recent picture of the family. The book is Calm, Cool, and Connected, 5 Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life. So you can see here, look, I used to have little tiny kids like you guys. So Lucy is now the baby. She's turning 8 next week. Noelle is in the middle, and she is in 6th grade. And Ethan is my 8th grader, and he's going through adolescence. And he's got hair under his armpits, and his father bought him a shaver for his birthday. And I was like, James, we have to buy him more than the shaver. You know that, right? And he's like, that's like getting a vacuum cleaner for a woman on, you know, it's like lame. So believe me, we got him something else. But I made them pose, of course, with my new book. And see, they're very calm. They're very cool. They're very connected because they don't have a phone, you know, like glued to their hands. And we were the family that said, we will never get a dog, because we have way too much to do. But as you can see in this next slide, we got a dog. So even Winston, our golden doodle puppy, is into this calm, cool, and connected thing because we all need it. So my kids, and I say this as I talk, I don't want you to guys to go like, oh my word, I feel so condemned right now. Like, I feel like, so I hope she doesn't know how I use my phone or how much TV my kids watch. I just hope she does not look into my soul as she looks at me at the table. So please let that condemnation just roll off of you. It is okay. This is a safe place. And what I want you to do, though, instead is say, from this day forward, what do I want? From this day forward, what do I want for myself? From this day forward, what do I want from my kids? If my kids were to grow up and have the same digital habits as me, Would I be really excited about that? Would I be like, wow, they're going to be so healthy? That's going to be great, because that's what this is about. I also want to give you hope that you don't have to do things like everyone else is. Because many times as moms, we're gauging like, okay, they're doing that, so I should probably be doing that. You know, they let them have a phone, so I should probably let them have a phone. Well, they play that video game. I should probably let them too. So I'm here to say you can do whatever you like. If you want to follow them, you can, but you don't have to. So my eighth grader, who goes to public school in Chula Vista, 1,600 kids in seventh and eighth grade, he's one of the only kids without a phone. He does not own a phone. He does not own an iPad. He bikes 3 miles to school, and his friends will ask him, like, Ethan, what will happen if something happens to you and you don't have a phone? And he's like, I would walk to school with my flat tire, which my phone really wouldn't help me with a whole lot anyway. You know, so he's very, you get it? Like, he's different, and it's okay. So having said this, let me show you this picture of my kids. This is us at a gas station, and this is just me filling up gas and what kids will do when they finally have access to a phone. So when I came back from filling the tank with gas into the car, this was like my new lock screen. I was like, great, love that, guys. This thing has a magnet for children and also for moms, and it really knows no bounds with ages. We were sitting in a restaurant, and there was someone, a couple in their 70s, alone having dinner together, and we watched as the woman stared across the restaurant and as the 70-year-old husband pecked on his little phone the whole meal. It does not know any bounds. So today we're going to talk about how you can step away from the phone more. So the question is, are we addicted? You can take this one down. Are we addicted? Do we need to step away from the phone? And we're going to talk about go ahead and take them all down. No pictures. And I'll call her back up. Okay. So do we need to step away from the phone? Are we ourselves addicted? Because sometimes we might think like, well, I'm not addicted. So I'm going to give you a few questions, okay, for you to kind of see if you are addicted to your phone. I would feel uncomfortable without constant access to information through my smartphone. Just answer honestly in your mind. I would be annoyed if I could not look information up on my smartphone when I wanted to do so. If I didn't have my phone with me, I would feel anxious because I couldn't instantly communicate with my family or my friends. I would feel weird because I would not know what to do. How many of us, when we are waiting, automatically we just take out our phone, right? You start scrolling, checking your text, see if you have an email, do this. When you sit down at the table, nobody's here. Okay, good, I'll just start doing this. And wouldn't it feel weird if all of a sudden you didn't have that to fiddle with while you were waiting? So of those questions that I asked you, Iowa State University had more questions than that, and they took this large survey of men and women, and they found that 58% of men, so those of you who are married, your husbands are doing worse than we are, so 58% of men and 47% of women reported having what the researchers called nomophobia. And nomophobia is the fear of being without your cell phone. So pretty much 6 out of 10 men, 5 out of 10 women said, I have the fear of being without my cell phone. It's why 71% of Americans sleep with their cell phone right next to them on their bed or their nightstand, because we need that digital binky nearby. And if you are wondering, do I need this? Just think, if you would have forgotten your phone on the way to MOPS, maybe some of you, did anyone forget their phone today? Oh, look, is it? Okay, we have one person. That's good. But look at the amount of people here and the amount of things you have to do. And nobody forgot their phone except one, but that's okay. Did you go back home for it? She went back home for it. Okay, see? So that in itself is proof that, you know, we forget a lot of things as mothers of preschoolers, but we do not forget the phone, okay? So today we're going to look at, you know, what's the problem with that? Because obviously the phone is a great tool. The phone says, I'm running late. The phone says, where are you? Like, these are all really great things. I'm lost. Let's get the GPS out. I mean, these are good things. So I promise I will not make you, we won't take an offering and you'll have to put your phone in the bucket, you know, you won't have to do that. But what I do want you to do is when you take your phone out from now on, I want you to look at it suspiciously, a little differently. with a little piece of yellow caution tape across it to say, wait a minute, do I need to step away from this thing? Is this thing taking over? Because in a survey of 6,000 children, they found these results. And I want you to think of how your 2-year-old, how your 5-year-old, how your baby, you know, might answer this question. 54% of kids said their parents checked their phones too often. 36% of kids said their parents' worst habit was getting distracted by their phone in the middle of a conversation. And 32% of kids said this behavior made them feel unimportant. Now, this phone thing is not an American problem. It is an international problem. Respondents from Brazil reported the highest anxiety, with 87% of kids saying their parents use their phones too often, and 56% of Brazil kids saying they'd like to take their phones away from their parents, okay? So this is a little bit of a role reversal, right? A lot of times when we think of phones, we think about like the teenager that's just like, hello, can you look up, you know? Or we think about the kid just sitting with their iPad all day long and you're like, hello. But we as parents, as moms, we can be guilty of these things as well. And the thing that we have to understand is that our brains have a connection to this thing. Because if you remember the time when you used to get personal mail, okay, if you can remember that time, and you'd go out to your mailbox and you think, oh, did I get anything good? And you kind of look through there. Well, every time we go to our phone, we go to Facebook, we go to Instagram, we go to email, we're thinking, did I get anything good? And this behavior, this feeling just keeps us coming back for more. And in one book called Digital Invasion, Dr. Archibald Hart talks about how these behaviors, that they stimulate the pleasure center of our brain just like a drug would. And little pleasures are often ignored because we get used to those little pleasures. You know, we can watch TV whenever we want, watch our programs whenever we want. We can look and it's always like 50% off, 75% off. Like there's excitement everywhere. So the exciting little things of life, it's like, meh, you got anything better? Because we're so used to these big stimulants coming into our brain through our screens. And so we've got to be aware, okay, what is all this digital use doing to my brain? What is it doing to my relationships? Do my kids feel closer to me because I have a phone? Or do they feel like it's competition to them? And vice versa. And so we've got to think of this as, is this pushing, you know, we're having digital advances, but are we having relational advances? Are husbands and wives closer together because of this? Are children and parents closer together because of this? And I think if we were super honest, we'd say, no, a lot of times we are together under the same roof, each with our own little entertainment system, and we are not connecting together. And in terms of parenting, that's what I talk about in Growing Up Social, one of my books with Dr. Gary Chapman. So that's kind of the problem relationally. That's a problem that's happening with your brain becoming addicted. I used to think that this device was neutral and it was just the way you used it that mattered. But the more and more you read and the more you find out about it, for instance, there's a book called Irresistible, The Rise of Addictive Technologies by Adam Alter. And it talks about that behind the screen, there are 1,000 programmers trying to program this so that you'll want to come back to it. So when Facebook, Instagram, all those things, they introduce the likes and posts and comments, what they were doing was causing us to say, like you post a picture, right? And you think, oh yeah, I'm done with that. But you're not done with it. You're going to check a few hours later, did anyone comment? You're going to check again. Oh, look, someone else commented. You're going to check again. How many likes have I gotten? And look at us. We are adults. And we're having these behaviors. So you give that to an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and you expect him or her to be able to control that, like put your phone down. Like it is rigged for you to come back to it and to constantly check it and to get a reward. Video games are the same way. It's why your kids don't want to stop, because they're at a certain level and they want to keep going and they want to exceed and they want to get to the next level and they want more points. They're playing with friends so they can't let their friends down. So all these things have been programmed into the juice to make you and your children want to come to it. So you need to realize this is not a fair fight, and that we've got to make some decisions about how this is going to rule the roost in our home or how it's not. So the problem is there. And there's also a spiritual problem, because remember how I talked about how when you're waiting, you look at your phone. I look at my phone at red lights. I like scroll through. Did I get a text? No. You know, did you get another email? Oh, look, a shoe is on sale. Big deal. I mean, it's like ridiculous. So what we need to do spiritually a lot of times is we fill the silence and calm of our life, right? Just the rhythm of life, walking from the car to preschool, or waiting in line at the grocery store. Like all these little tiny moments where you could just be saying, God, I need you today. I need your wisdom. Lord, bless those people in Las Vegas. Let the churches rise up. Lord, and all those little tiny moments that we could spend praying without ceasing, as the Bible calls it. What do? We check without ceasing. So praying without ceasing, we're checking without ceasing. And it's leading to a famine in our souls because we're not connecting with God. And it's so tempting just to read this. And yes, you can read your Bible on this. You can. But it's so easy to get distracted with other things after you read your Bible or in the midst of reading your Bible. You know, you're reading and you're like, oh, I forgot I got to text so-and-so. And all of a sudden, you're off to the races. So my encouragement is spiritually that you would ask yourself, am I closer to God because of this device? You have a job as a mom, a spiritual job, to impart faith to your child. Is this helping you in that endeavor? At the end of it all, will you say, wow, that phone, that tablet helped my child to be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? It was like, I couldn't have done it without it. For most of us, we'd be like, yeah, my kid's not looking up verses when they touch their little phone and their tablet, you know. So for us to say Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are to impress this upon your children. This is our job, to impress the love of God in our child. So when our child leaves the home, they have the fingerprints of God's word over their heart and not this little apple. I heart apple, you know, so you don't want that. You want the fingerprints of God's word. It says in Deuteronomy 6 to talk about God's commands when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Where are those spaces? Those are the everyday grind spaces of life. What do? In the everyday grind spaces of life, a lot of times we pick up our phone first thing. We look at our phone last thing. Our kids watch their tablets. Our kids put the tablet down and go to sleep. And so we've got to reclaim these spaces as spiritual spaces for us to impress the word of God on our children and not just let them be entertained and quiet and nice with this. We've got to risk inconveniencing ourselves so we can impact the next generation. Psalm 115 says this, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him, but their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. You know, a lot of times we don't think like, oh, the mighty phone, I bow to thee. You know, we don't think of it like, oh, this thing is this great idol. We got a big picture of it on the wall or something. We bow to it three times a day. No, but are we spending more time with this than we are with God's word? Are we looking for answers on Google instead of praying to God first? And just to realize that we use our phones many times a whole lot more than we turn to God. And in that way, we must check ourselves and say, are we making technology an idol instead of running to God instead? So some of us, we need a little help, right? We need a little help. So when my daughter Noelle was two, she loved sucking her thumb. She just loved that thing. And at night, she would just chew that thing for all it's worth. So in the morning, we'd find like little bite marks. And then in a while, we'd find a little bleeding. And then all the skin was peeling around it. So my husband had this brilliant idea of taking pajamas, sewing up the ends so she could not get to her precious thumb. I give it to a man, right, to think of a solution like that. So we did this. So the first day, sweet Noelle was separated from her thumb. She was just like, oh, she just started crying because she kept trying to get to it and she just couldn't get to it. And at this point, a lot of you would have been like, oh, I can't handle it. Take out the scissors and let her have her precious thumb back, you know? And so she tried to put the whole fist in her mouth and it just didn't fit. And here's the next picture of her with a little close up of her little paws. And so the first night was a little rough for Noelle without her little thumb. And the second night was a little bit easier. But by the third night, she'd almost forgotten about that thumb because, you see, we had tried different things. We had tried, like, the nail polish that didn't taste good, and she was like, "Ooh, I don't care. I'm going to keep eating my thumb." She didn't care. And it was when we took the drastic measure that took some effort of sewing it up and cutting it off that she could not get to it. That's when we started seeing results with her. And for us, and maybe for some of our children, we have a digital binky that we need. My phone, my iPad. The kids need their video games. The kids need their little game, you know, to keep them sane, you know. So all these things. And sometimes it takes drastic measure to say, I'm going to zip that up and I'm going to take it away. So I want to give you a few very easy solutions that if you will do this, whether your child is 2 years old or whether you're sitting here and you have a teenager, it's still works. And even those of you with adult children may want to try this as well. But there are a few principles that will really help you. First and last things. So what do you touch first and what do you touch last? And what this means is for ourselves and our lives, if you can get to the point where you don't touch your phone first thing in the morning, and instead you read the Bible, you say a prayer, and this does not have to be like 3 hours of solemn meditation before your children arise. No, this can be 3 minutes of you saying, God, it's a new day and I need your help. And I ask you to flood me with your mercy, flood me with your grace, give me wisdom when I don't know what to do, show me. Now, guess what? If you just do that, that took like 10 seconds, right? Instead of you wake up, oh, you look, oh, I got to return this. I got to do this. Oh, this news is terrible. You know, how have you started your day, right? So differently. So make a commitment that you will not start the day with this, but that you'll start the day in a calmer, more peaceful way in God's word with thanksgiving, and teach your children to do the same. The same thing at night. You know, there was a survey that said we touch our phones 47 times throughout the day. When I talk to people, they say, that's not very much. I touch my phone a whole lot more than 47 times throughout the day. But for those of you who are married, can you imagine leaving this place and touching your husband 47 times a day? He'd be like, woo, what'd she talk about in mops? That is awesome. Did she talk about that 31 Days to a Happy Husband book again? You know, they'd be like, this is amazing. So can you imagine if we treated our loved ones, our children, our husband, the way we treat our phone? Oh, let me just check in with you. How you doing? You know, if you just checked in with her, how you doing, honey? You doing good? Okay, good. I just want to check if anything new happened to you. Hey, honey. Hi. I mean, can you imagine? This would be amazing. So don't touch your phone so much. Don't touch it first thing. Don't touch it last thing. If you are not an emergency responder, now you may feel that way because you have a 2-year-old, but you don't need your phone for that. They will call you and you'll be able to hear them. So if you don't have to have your phone, then charge it in another room overnight. Get it away from you. Now, a lot of people say, but it's my alarm clock. And I think we should have like a new invention of a little alarm clock that looks like a phone so that you'll feel like your phone is with you, but it will just simply be an alarm clock. So if you have to buy an old clunky alarm clock or use a different watch, I think it's worth it, because for you to wake up as a habit in God's word is better, and also to go to sleep looking in your husband's eyes, reading the word of God, praying a prayer of thanksgiving is much better than saying, oh, what's the latest news before you go to bed? And that's great. So now you're going to sleep worried, anxious, fearful. The news, I don't know how to say this, but the news wants you to feel that way. So you need to tune in less to that and more to God's word to have that peace so that you can, when you do hear the news, have something there in your soul to face that with. So don't let this be a digital binky. Sew it up if you have to so you can't get to it. Charge it in another room. Don't touch it first thing. Don't touch it last thing in the morning, at night. If you do just those simple habits, those are very simple things. It's not like rocket science. You will see like, wow, I feel so much better already. Just those few things. And teach your children to do the same. When I talk to parents who have grown kids and I ask them like, what was the regret that you have? You know, without a doubt, most of them say, I wish I would have collected their phones and their tablets at night. For their high schoolers, their junior highers. I wish I would have done that. So guess what? You start telling your 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, This is how we do things at our house. We don't have screens in the bedrooms. We don't have screens overnight. Those are all collected. And if you need to put them under lock and key, you're going to put them under lock and key. Because I promise you, ladies, nothing's good. It's happening after 10 p.m. with your kid and that phone. I talked to a mom who took the phone away, and she was like, I was amazed. All night long, it kept buzzing. Like, she wanted to see what it would have done. All night long, it was buzzing with texts from friends. And your kids are waking up. Okay, going back to sleep all night long. Their whole adolescence. You cannot have that. So simply from a health, sleep perspective, it's good for you and it's good for your child. And just think, what in the world are they talking about at 1 o'clock in the morning? Like, it's not feeding the poor, I'll tell you that, okay? So it's not a worthwhile endeavor. So don't feel bad about collecting their items, and you do it too. I want to introduce you to a little move from Call Cool and Connected that will really help you. It's very simple, and it's called the pivot. So when I'm writing my books, I'm obviously not writing them on papyrus leaves, and, you know, I'm not like sitting and painting things. You know, I'm on a computer, and my kids will think that's so funny. Oh, it's so funny, Mom, you're writing on a computer, and you write about how people use computers too much. Oh, it's so funny, so funny. You know. So I developed what I call the pivot, and it's been super helpful. And all it means is that when I'm on my computer and I hear steps coming up the stairs towards me, or steps coming from behind me, instead of waiting for them to say something to me, I pivot away and I say, hey, what's going on? And I look at them and they talk to me. They say, I can't find such and such. And I say, oh, it's in the drawer. Okay, see you later. And then I go back. Okay, think of that experience versus them coming up the stairs, seeing the back of my head. Mom, where is such and such? Oh, yeah, it's in the drawer. Okay, like, not a very satisfying experience. So when you are on the phone with your little one and you are texting the location, you're getting the list and you need to do that, but your child comes up to you, instead of continuing down here and just, yeah, you pivot. You look up. Your list can wait for 30 seconds. Like, it will not disappear. That's the amazingness of it, you know. So you look up at your child and you say, what is it? Okay, well, Mommy's got to finish this up, okay? And then I'll be right with you. And it's the whole idea that people first, phones second. You live your life in a pivot, that whatever it is I'm doing on my computer, if someone, flesh and blood, comes into my presence, I will acknowledge you. I will see what you're doing. I will look you in the eyes. I will do that. And then I will return to my work, because guess what? Your work does not care. But your kids care a whole lot, and your husband cares a whole lot. So live your life in a pivot. And I tell you what, my daughter Lucy, I always knew her love language was hugs, because from the time she was 2 years old, she was like, huggy, huggy. She always wanted hugs. So I learned that very early on, that when she came into the room, pivot away from the screen, give Lucy a big hug. What's going on? And it's such a sweet, good interaction. If I would have given this whole talk from the moment that I began right now till right now, and I would have given it staring at this lovely stool, and I would have been talking to you exact same content, same story, same slides, same inflection in the voice, same everything, and yet I gave you the entire talk looking like this, you probably think like, what is wrong with that lady? She's very disengaged, and I'm going to tune out because she's not even watching us. Because your eye contact makes a huge difference in a room. It makes a huge difference in a family. It makes a huge difference in a car, in a restaurant, in a line. And it's all these little things for your child not to feel like, oh, wow, Mommy's always looking down, but to feel like, I like to call this a hot potato, that you get in and you get out. So you got to text someone, you text them, and you get out. Okay, I'm back. Mommy's back. Hello, how's it going? You know, you take your pictures and you put it in your pocket. You're done. And it's hot potato all day long. We use it and then we just drop it as fast as we can. Not literally. So realize that you want to live your life in a pivot, putting people first before your phone. Look at it with that caution tape, because it's very addictive. And then realize this can be a hot potato that I use, but that I get rid of. Now, you know how you get on the computer to do something, and then like 20 minutes later, you're like, what in the world was I here to do? Because I have no idea. So a question you can ask yourself before going on your tablet, your laptop, your computer, your phone, whatever, even watching TV, the question you can ask is, what am I here to do? What am I here to do? And if you'll just ask yourself that before you start, I'm here to return that email. Fabulous. Return the email. Do not get distracted by the other thousands of banners all around you that you're curious about, and get out. I mean, believe me, I am so guilty of this. I'm like, I have a book deadline. Oh, but look, a new movie's coming out. I could watch the trailer. I mean, it's like we are so used to being distracted. And so if you simply ask yourself, what am I here to do? It's a clarifying question that will make your screen time more useful. According to a University of Nevada study, cyberloafing, wasting time online when you're at work, costs U.S. businesses as much as $85 billion a year. People in a study admitted to cyberloafing when they're supposed to be working online, that 60 to 80% of their time working online is really just wasting time. And you can see that, right? Because you look totally legitimate. Like you're on your computer looking like, oh, I'm getting my work done. And guess what? We, whether we work at out of the home or we work in the home, we as moms, we can have legitimate quote unquote work. Like, oh, I got to get shoes for the kids. So I'm going to go get my shoes. Okay. But what happens? I've looked at the shoes for the kids. Oh, but look, tops are so cute too. And all of a sudden it's like lots of time has elapsed. And we as moms, we can cyber loaf also. And so what is important to ask ourselves is what am I here to do? One of my friends, author Dr. Kathy Cook, issued this warning when I interviewed her for my book. She says, I'm not opposed to having a blog or using social media, but I think a lot of moms discovered joy in that, and they began to disconnect from their kids who wanted more mommy time. Let's admit that. Children tell me they very much resent being told to turn off their phones when mom's is in her hand. I respect that. Parents need to engage with their children in social play without anything digital. What if we put board games on the coffee table, a frisbee and a football at the back door, and a puzzle on the table? We are not anti-tech. What we're concerned about is what technology is doing to the beliefs and behaviors of kids and what it is doing to the family unit. And so for us to be honest with ourselves, and it might be hard, like we defend ourselves, but I do so much, and what's wrong with like watching my favorite show at night? And maybe there's nothing wrong with that as long as you have said, what am I here to do? I'm here to catch up on one episode. I'm here to enjoy myself. And then I'm going to jump back in instead of, okay, well, it's been 3 hours. I guess I should go to bed. And then you wake up so tired because you didn't go in with a game plan the night before. So just ask yourself, what am I here to do? How can this technology bring my family closer together instead of pushing us further apart? There's a time to be with your phone, but there's got to be a lot of time when you are without your phone. In Calm, Cool, and Connected, I wrote a little poem that is a take on Ecclesiastes 3, and it goes like this. There's a time for everything technological and a season for every activity under your roof, a time to take photos and a time to refrain from taking photos, a time to text and a time for long conversation, a time to install apps and a time to uninstall apps, a time to limit and a time to use, a time to watch funny cat videos and a time to read thoughtfully in a corner, a time to delay gratification and a time for lavish gifts, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time for Facebook and a time to shut Facebook down, a time for Skype and a time for getting into an airplane, a time for digital advances, and a time for silent retreat. And the thing is, we're super heavy on the other stuff. Like, we're super heavy on the texting and watching and and we're not as heavy on the silence and communication without a screen. And that, my friends, is what I want to encourage you as we go into this fall semester. You would say, oh God, I want to text less and I want to talk more with my children. If my children were asked, is your mommy on the phone too much? I want them to say, no. Do you ever feel unimportant because your mommy's on the phone? No, my mommy uses the phone real good. That's what you want your child to be able to say, right? And so that's where we want to get, because when we touch this thing first thing and last thing, when we touch it 60 times a day or more, we become nervous because it's always got like something for us to do. So I think a lot of times why we as moms feel so stressed and so busy, like we have so much to do, it's because all of a sudden we have to answer all these things right away. And then with this glut of information that we're like, oh my word, I'm supposed to be doing this and this and this and this and this. And then we think things should happen instantly because you just Google something. It's like child, mucus, 3 days, and it will tell you exactly what to do. It gives you an instant answer. But when you pray to God, he doesn't say, yeah, mucus, 3 days, here's what to do. Like, it doesn't work that way. And so we are getting used to this digital way of interacting with each other, and it's not healthy. Because with our kids, you need a lot of patience. You don't get your answers right away. And your kids need eye contact, and they need you to model how to live in a screen-driven world with moderation. Think of it. We are older, and we struggle, right, with moderation. So I urge you, with your children, don't give them screens. Like, hold that back as old as you can. Because if you struggle, you can only imagine how your child is going to struggle with wanting to have that phone, with wanting to play that game again. I'm going to get ready to show you this video. And in this video, you're going to see a researcher and a mom and a baby. And there's a lot to learn from this. So take a look. You can stop the video there. Perfect. Okay, you sweet ladies, right? You're like, oh, please let the mom reach out to that baby that's just awful, right? So can you see the difference, right? So there's so many things from that. And we as moms, like when our babies reach out to us, whether a little baby or whether they're a three-year-old that you just feel like, ugh, or whether they're a six-year-old or a 10-year-old, they're reaching out to us. And when they reach out to us, and they try to, and they might do it in inappropriate ways, but they're trying to reach out to us. May God help us that they will see our face and that we will respond to them and we'll reach to them instead of giving that still face. Isn't that scary? Like the still face of our next generation, of just like everybody's just looking down. Everyone's just got this kind of still face. So as moms, may we be reminded, oh God, help me to be responsive to my child. Help me not to put my device first, my tasks first, but help me to pivot away from them. Help me to put people first in my family and my phone and my work and my computer, all that second. Help me, Lord. And then notice that when they had that good communication, right? And then the communication was broken, but then it was restored. So I want you to know that you're sitting in this room, which means it's not too late. It's not like, oh, well, guess this is going to be a failure for your family. No. You're sitting in this room and you've got a second chance. You have a second chance for yourself. What kind of mom technologically do I want to be for my children? And you have a chance to say, I want to do this. What about my kids? For many of us, it's our kids. They're the ones with the still faces. You're like, yoo-hoo, can you see me? You know, for our kids, many times, what we need to do is apologize and say, honey, I'm sorry. Mommy did not want you to throw a fit at the restaurant, so mommy's been giving you this iPad. But from now on, we are going to color in the restaurants. And you may not like that at first, but believe me, you'll like it. We're going to have a contest this first time. See who colors the best picture, and we're going to ask the server to judge them, okay? So you do things. You apologize. And you can take a retake with your children. If you find like, oh no, my child, if they continue on this trajectory, right, they are going to turn out to be an adult that's like, ooh, can you please respond because you're looking at the screen way too much and you don't want that. And so you have a very pivotal role as a mom to say, I will set screen limits. I will take away screens at night. I will not allow screens in the room. I will push back devices as much as I can. I will teach my child to have the self-control to sit during mealtimes without a device at home and in restaurants. And you get yourself to these places. And I promise you, you will enjoy life a whole lot more. I have a friend named Erin Lyman, and she's coming out with a new book in the spring, and it's called 936 Pennies. And what it's about is during a baby dedication, she was given a jar of 936 shiny pennies. and each penny represented 1 week of her child's life until her child would be 18. So it'd be like this visual representation of how much time you had to invest in your child. I know. So you have the empty jar, and then every week you move the penny to the empty jar, and then you see how the time is going by. So all of you are like, oh my goodness, I can't even handle that. Okay. You're going to see a jar and you're just going to tear up. Okay. So you can imagine those of you holding babies, you're like, wow, I got a lot of pennies. My diaper bag is really full right now. And then you sit here and you're like me, and I've got an eighth grader, a sixth grader, and a third grader right now, and it just went so fast. And I think about my son Ethan, and I've got, I think, less than 300 pennies with that little boy. And this is a picture. I'm going to show you a picture of Ethan and my dad. And this is him when he was about the MOPS age. And thank you so much, Dana, for doing this so awesomely. So there is Ethan, and he's kind of that preschool age at SeaWorld with my dad, and it's just so sweet. And it just seemed like yesterday. He loved Thomas the Train. We would give him a sticker, and we'd say, where would you like your sticker? And he say, right here. So now that he's like in junior high, we'll still say, right here. So here's the next picture of him with my dad. And look, this was taken a few months ago, and he's like a man, right? He's almost as tall as my dad. He and I share sweatshirts now. It's just unreal. So ladies, you do not have that much time with your child. Time is fleeting, but it's okay. The word of God lasts forever. And it is your job to launch your child. That's your job. But I urge you, do not be like the average American. The average American adult is on their screens 10 hours a day or more. The average American child is on their screen 7 hours a day or more. And I promise you, if you spend that much time watching TV, looking at your phone, playing games, checking email, checking Instagram, you're going to waste a lot of pennies. And you're going to get to the end of it and say, what in the world was I doing? None of us will get to the end of our life and say, if I had only posted more on Instagram. You know, none of us will say that. We will say, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have seen it with my own eyes instead of filming everything around me, but really being there. And so I urge you, ladies, this is a time for us to say, okay, I'm okay. This is not about condemnation. Do not leave this place and say, like, I'm such a loser. Like, I do everything wrong. No. You leave this place and you say, what do I want to do different? Is there anything I want to do different? If my son, my daughter, grew up to use technology just like me, would I be pleased? Am I a calm, cool, and connected person because of the way I set limits with my phone and the way I choose to use it? The phone is supposed to help us. That's what it was created for. So put it in its place and tell it, phone, you are not going to run my life. You're not going to distract me. You're not going to interrupt my conversations anymore. I'm going to put you in your place, and I'm going to start living like I'm supposed to be living. So let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for this time that we've been able just to sit and laugh and think. And we invite your Holy Spirit now to be in the discussion around the table so that we might further process what are the things we can walk out of here to do. Show us, Lord. Show us how to pivot away from our devices and look squarely in the eyes of our children and of our spouses. Lord, help us not to touch this phone first thing and last thing. Instead, help us to reach out to you. God, we commit our meal times to you that they'll be sacred for conversation and connection and not just for amusement. And we ask, Lord, give us wisdom to implement these rules. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God tells us in Psalm 90, 12, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. And so none of your children, when you leave this room, or maybe not even your spouse, will say, fabulous, you just took my tablet away. You must have been at MOPS, and you're learning about like being healthy emotionally. This is fabulous. Okay, your kid is going to scream at you. Your kid is going to say, what? What is wrong with you, Mom? I want that back. But I promise you, if you'll be consistent in your rules with them and also with yourself, you're going to find, wow, this is so much nicer to live here. And it is worth it to pay that price. I would love to come home with you through my books so that you can learn more. So Calm, Cool, and Connected will give you more specifics of what to do if you feel like this is an issue for you. And then 31 Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. This one's with Dr. Gary Chapman of the Love Languages. And this is more of a parenting. So some people ask, like, what's the difference? Calm, Cool, and Connected is like, I need help with my digital habits. And then growing up social is, okay, I need some parenting reasons to parent my child not to be addicted to their iPad 24/7. That's what this one's about. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So asking, so, you know, having limits for your child, but then her child has turned 5 and it's like, why can't I do this like everyone else? I will say the long answer that this will help you because it kind of gives those reasons. And then you have to put that in 5-year-old terms. And so it can be, you know what, we're going to do different things instead of that. We're going to ride bikes. We're going to build things. We're going to do other things that are going to make you a healthier and stronger boy. And you know what? That might not make exactly sense now, but I promise it will someday. You know, things like that. And just, first of all, to have that philosophy and mindset that if I parent, you are going to parent different. If you do this, what she's saying, you're going to be different because most of the kids around you are going to be playing video games. And then you know, okay, fast forward this. My child's going to be a college-age student who's skipping classes because they're playing World of Warcraft. Okay, I don't want that. So you know that, but how do you tell your child that? So a lot of it is saying, you know what? Our family, we just do things a little different. And they kind of grow up saying, our family does things a little different. And as long as it is a happy home where you're doing other things, they will like that. They won't mind it. Yeah. Right, and it's true, and it's true, and it gives that grace for other people to do other things. Families do it differently. Who feels like they are really struggling with their screen time and their kids right now? And if you raise your hand really high, something nice will happen to you. You are getting a free book. You're getting a free book. So this little book was a little, this little cover was a little smudged, and I felt like I couldn't, so forgive me that it's smudged, but it's free. So, yeah, see? So if you're courageous, it pays off. Okay. So some of you are feeling like, I do not like my children right now, okay? If you were to admit it, I do not like my children right now, or at times, I do not like my children. So 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom, that one's for you. And this one, I interviewed moms of all different ages to ask them, how do you do that? Be calmer, scream less, and instruct more, act like a leader, be much happier. So that's what that is, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife is, okay, in my marriage, I kind of got the blahs. How can I bring more happiness? Like, yeah, I'm happy to be a wife. Okay, so this is about you. How can I be happier as a wife? Now, this one is for you to read, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, but this puts the spotlight on your husband because your sweet husband, when you courted, he was like, oh, you are the light of my life. Like, you know, my husband and I, before we were kissing, we would just look at each other on the couch. Like, we just sit together, and he'd, like, put his little head on my lap, and we'd just talk. And I just rub his little temples. And we could do this for hours, right? You remember this. We could do this for hours. And we'd be like, oh, we called it FaceTime before there was FaceTime. And we used to say, oh, if everyone would just spend 10 minutes a day with FaceTime, the whole world would be a happy place. Like, we honestly said this. So what happens now that you're married and you have little children? It's like if you sat on the couch for 2 seconds, you'd be like, okay, I have to go now. Like, you know, we don't do that anymore. So 31 Days to a Happy Husband is how can you dream again about that sweet man? Because I promise you, sweet ladies, your kids will grow up and they'll leave. And you want a strong relationship with your husband when that happens. And being a mop's mom is not too early to start, okay? So 31 Days to a Happy Husband is if you want to really wow your man and he'll love you. And then 31 Days to a Younger You is I interviewed ladies 40 to 100. Like, how did you stay so young? Because when you have children, you start getting gray hairs and all sorts of things happen to you. So this is just about staying younger. So all those books, any book is $10, and I'm happy to sign it for you. They make great Christmas gifts, and I'd love to come home with you in that way. You heard my poem that there's a time to text and a time to talk. So now is your time to text if you want. You may take out your phone, and this is to sign up for my email newsletter. A lot of you are already signed up. I know. A lot of you are already signed up, so you do not have to do that. So fabulous. But if you would like to receive my email newsletter, it's once a month. It has a podcast on it that you can listen to. It has articles about marriage and parenting that are just for you, and always a giveaway. So if you are interested in doing that, all you have to do is take out your phone for this moment, your little hot potato with a caution tape across it, and you can text 22828, and I will repeat this, and I'm sorry I didn't put it on the slide, 22828, and you will text my name, Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E. So text 22828, put Arlene, send, it'll say, would you like to receive Arlene's monthly newsletter? And then you will input your email. If you have any problem with that, you can sign up with your email address at my table. And you can also always go on my website, arlenepellicane.com, and sign up there. So again, it's 22828, texting Arlene. Yes. Yeah, quick question. Yes. Yes. Oh, it's a big thing. Yeah. Ooh, so difficult. So technology in schools. This is a huge thing, right? So my husband and I were just talking about this yesterday. Like, I'm kind of quote unquote lucky because my kids are older, and my kids, they introduced laptops in fourth grade in my school. And I was kind of okay with that. But if they would have introduced it much earlier, I'd been like, excuse me, please let these kids play. Like, let them look around. So one, if you have a child and they're already using an iPad, they're using a laptop in school a lot, that already tells you, wow, by the time they get home, they've already spent a few hours looking at a screen. So when they get home, they really need to go out and play. They really need to go out and be outside. We really have got to hunker down and get those screens out of our lives after school so there could be more to life than just staring at this little tiny screen. So that's one thing. And then you do, every family's got to make their own choices of, okay, if I don't like how this is, you know, am I willing? Am I able to look at other options? It's amazing. I was just speaking at a school. A superintendent had me come out in Illinois because they were issuing Chromebooks for the first time for their 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And he literally had me come out to give a scary talk. He asked me, come and scare the parents because we need, you know, for the Chromebooks, what they've been doing is using the ones from the library, and they're real clunky, and they have to wait 10 minutes for them to get online, and they're wasting a lot of time. And so they issued for the first time Chromebooks to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. But he wanted me to come and tell the parents a scary talk about how they need to take away their Chromebooks at night, how they need to limit at home, and blah, 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 blah. And he assured the parents that the teachers will not be having them on Chromebooks all day long, but that they will use them, you know, for half an hour to write a paper and then put it away, etc. So just be aware of how your schools are using them. Be an advocate with your teacher, and then kind of like win their favor before you tell them your opinion, if your opinion is contrary. And then at home, just be real careful with what you're doing, and know, it is hard. I will admit that, because it's like, okay, this is not the answer. Schools will think this is the answer. If we put technology in, the kids will get smarter, right? That's the problem. They don't have a good technology. But the truth is, it just amplifies what's already there. And so it's more important. There's not an app. There's not a technology thing that can replace a human being teaching a child language. You teaching your child the alphabet, you speaking to your child, all those things are so much better for their speech than for them to like watch TV that's educational, you know, all day long. It's much better for them to hear you go back and forth with them. So the human element trumps the computer every time. All right, I'm going to invite Dana back up. Thank you so, so much, ladies.